Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly one-hour expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times in which we live, because the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening and welcome to The Watchman. As we start, as we do the first Watchman program for 2015, throughout the whole of December, we actually had recordings, but that's because we kind of needed to do that for a number of reasons. First of all, there are if you found the recordings frustrating, there are people who didn't, there are people who hadn't heard those messages and who are glad to hear them, but also because the Watchman needed to take a rest and go and kind of seek God and see what's new for 2015. So new stuff for a new year. Now, of course, there are quite a number of things we've talked about throughout the whole of last year. The show started in February, and that's a lot of months that we've been here, and we've talked about a number of things. The last thing we spoke about towards the end of the year that wasn't repeated was about the Antichrist. One of the most talked about figures in the Bible, who is quite talked about, although he's going to be in power for just 3.5 years, but it is so important for us to know, so that we see the undercurrents, what the Bible calls the mystery of lawlessness that is already at work, and that is going to introduce him. Now, here we're going to talk about some of the things that probably have did start in 2014 and probably earlier. However, we are going to see a lot more of them in 2015, in terms of Bible prophecy and leading up to the coming of the Lord. Very important things, things which are working in both kingdoms, the kingdom of God as well as the kingdom of the devil, because at the end of all of this, it's going to be separated as such. There's not going to be any gray areas. You know, Jesus said in the book of Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, he said that, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Now, that's interesting. I mean, he just drops a question. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Now, why did Jesus say that? Of course, because he knew exactly what the world is going to be like when he comes. Now, today, I was reading a story on the BBC which was talking about, is there going to come a time when religion dies away completely and everybody has become a humanist or an atheist or something of the like? And of course, they're actually looking forward to that day, which is not going to come, of course, but they are looking forward to it. And you can kind of see that there is a move, very vicious and very calculated, a lot more calculated than people think, to spread humanism, atheism across the world, and make people still have faith in God look like they're outdated, outmoded, ignorant, stupid, non-intellectuals, and things like that. And because the move is going to be so strong, and because humanism and atheism is being promoted as intellectualism, so even somebody with a mediocre brain, and I know so many of them, think that just by saying they are atheists, suddenly they become intellectuals, and they suddenly think that they have a high pedestal on which they can sit and spit, you know, on everybody who still believes in God, and it's a delusion, and the Bible says that those who do wickedly, he will flatter with trickery. And who is he talking about? The Antichrist. The point is that because of that, because so many people don't want to be, they are insecure, they don't want to be called ignorant, they don't want to be called all these bad things, they will, some of them will join the bandwagon of faithlessness or of humanism or atheism. And they think they are making a decision between being cool and being uncool. What they don't know is they are making a decision between being spending eternity in fires that are never quenched, or spending it in the most joyful place that you can ever think about. But it is not presented that way. The devil is never going to present it to you in that form. He knows if it was presented that way, you'd obviously make the better choice. but he presents it to you, it's cool to be, you know, all this, it's cool to be all of that. And it swept across Europe. And I mean, if you stood up among teenagers in Europe and say that you believe in God, you look like you're stupid. And the reality is that so many people, because they don't want to look like they're stupid, are going to fall for all of it. And well, the end of it is not good, but we are still going to be sounding an alarm to everybody out there that you do not have to be. I mean, and I challenge all those people who think they're intellectuals just because they don't. I'll be honest with you, I have not found one who knows half as much as I do, even about the things which they claim to believe in, because they talk of science. But I read I read science journals, I read so many things, I read all the things that come out, and I read them for this purpose, by the way, and I found out a lot of things that are happening in science and what. But I've never believed that science can be a replacement for God. I mean, science is an attempt by human beings to discover how the world works, you understand. And by discovering how it works, then maybe they can help in certain areas and make it better in certain places. And, you know, engineer things here and there that make life easier for people. But that's not a replacement for God. I told you before, it's like a mechanic in Katwe thinking that by figuring out how the Toyota works, then he's going to replace the Toyota factory in Japan. He cannot. Okay? He did not make the Toyota. He did not put it in place. He only knows how it works. He knows how what causes the radiator to heat, what causes the engine to go slow. So by studying that, he will make the Toyota work better and probably longer. And therefore, he is very necessary. But he is not going to. He is not necessary as a replacement for the originator. You understand? So anyhow, but what we are going to see, and I told you that all of this started with the Humanist Manifesto, which was published in 1933, and they said they are going to make religion about education. Sorry, they are going to make education about humanism. I've taught this before, and it was a plot by the top Freemasons and Illuminati in America. And this is not a conspiracy. I have quotes from them. They even published a manifesto, which is out there. You can go and check for it on the internet. This is not a conspiracy theory, if you know what I'm saying. All these things out there. It's just that some people don't want to go and search out for them. And they said, and quote, that religion has these people only on Sunday. Now we are going to make sure that we bombard them with humanist stuff from Monday to Friday, because they only have regional hours for 2 hours on a Sunday. Now for us, we are going to have them from Monday to Friday from 8 to 5 p.m., which is basically school time. So they made sure that all the education system, and this is done at a high level, all the education system is geared towards humanism. Humanist Manifesto was relaunched in 1973. 40 years after it was first launched, and now they said now we are entering into a generation of humanism. So it's somebody's planning it for you. So now you might think that it's your spontaneous decision to stand up and say no. Now there is, you know, science, you know, and what, and it makes you sound intelligent and what. What it is going to do is guarantee you a place in hell. And I'm telling you out there that do not let that happen, because somebody is trying to tune your brain, and they do it so expertly, and they do it in a way that it's high level deception, you understand. And it is at the heart of all of it, by the way, it's high level deception, because it comes in a way that it makes you think you made the decision, you know. Do you know what deception is like, really? Deception. But maybe I'll talk about that, because it's going to be one of the things that are going to be very strong in this year. But anyhow, so one of the things we are going to see is an absence of faith or reduction of faith. That's why Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he really find faith on the earth? But nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he really find faith on earth? That's what Jesus asked. So science is going to become more hostile towards any form of faith. Right now, they are kind of at the level of disproving, but it's going to become extremely hostile. And the idea is to make people who believe in God look stupid, ignorant, superstitious, backward. And those are exactly the kind of words which are used to influence young people who want to stand, young people who are desperate to fit in. Okay, so because they don't want to be told that they are ignorant and stupid and backward, they kind of fall in line. Now at the beginning they know it's not true, because it doesn't sound true. Something inside them is telling them it's not true. But the more they actually are exposed to it, the more it's that they start believing it is true, and then eventually it becomes true for them, because it is their disposition. So it becomes true for them, and so it's ingrained in them, and then they eliminate themselves from any form of godliness, and the end thereof is not good. So learn how to stand strong. Even if you're a young man, if you believe in God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, stand firm. Don't let anybody shake you by telling you that you're stupid just because you don't believe like them. There is even no evidence to suggest that they are so, because somebody was saying, you know, the higher the IQ, the more likely. And there was a story somewhere about how people with a higher IQ are more likely not to believe in God. I told them, let one of them come and do an IQ test with me, who is a believer in God. One of those atheists, let him come and do an IQ test with me, and we see if they are more intelligent than me just because they don't believe. And it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work. But of course, that's how it's going to be promoted. Okay? Now, the hostility of the world towards true Christianity is going to grow exponentially this year. You are going to see it. I mean, there's going to be a strong hostility, because at the beginning of last year, and I was reading this story somewhere about firemen who were sent to go and work around a homosexual parade in a city in America. And they refused. That was actually 10 years ago, in 2004. They refused, and they said they are not going to go there because their beliefs do not permit them to go, and because basically what they were going to be doing is taking part in a homosexual parade. So they were forced by the fire department in America, because they wanted to keep their jobs, they went. And they actually reported that they were harassed because there was some kind of sexual harassment, because homosexuality, the demon of homosexuality comes with the demon of violence. There is nowhere where there is homosexuality without violence. Those people use force ultimately. You wait, you'll see it. Now those who don't believe it, just wait, you'll see it. Those people who are saying, who cares what people doing behind their bedrooms, just wait, you'll see what it's going to go like. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot. How was it in the days of Lot? They were forceful. Come and knocking on the door. We saw a man coming here. Bring him out and we know him. I mean, that's how forceful they are. Then Lot says that, look, I'm offering you my daughters. They say, we don't want your daughters. Just bring those men out. Okay? And the men they were talking about actually were angels. But, I mean, like, that kind of forcefulness. Anyhow, so they went and sued the fire department for forcing them to go against their beliefs, because there was a time when you couldn't be allowed to go against your beliefs. When Muhammad Ali refused to go and fight in Vietnam because he said his religious beliefs do not, I mean, line up with that, he was actually set free eventually, because at the time the law in America, well, had to respect religious beliefs, but not in. Now what the judge did is he let the case kind of go cold. So he did not rule on the case for 10 years until last year. And last year he ruled in favor of the fire department and said they can be sent anywhere and what. Why did he wait for 10 years? Because so many things have changed in 10 years. 10 years ago there were so many things that were not possible that are possible now. Like that. I mean, forcing somebody to go someplace against their conscience. The conscience was protected at the time. Now conscience is supposed to be decided for people. 10 years ago, the force of humanism wasn't so strong. Now what we have actually is humanists, the Humanist Association of, I'm just giving you examples because here these ones are written, Humanist Association of America in February last year stopped a school in Robbinsdale, Minnesota, from allowing students to participate in a community service project at a church, because and the project involved preparing meals for impoverished children in Haiti. So what this lady wrote, the lawyer of the America Humanists Association, is that what they are doing, that I quote here now, the school has clearly violated the establishment clause by sending public school children under your authority to a religious environment to work with a religious organization that is a religious mission, that is apparently violating the First Amendment principle of separating church and state. I mean, but the way she says, then the humanist took a special offense to the biblical terminology used in to describe the mission to feed starving children. That's because some of the packages were called the manna packages, manna, of course, after the food that was given to the Israelites in the desert. So she said she was offended that even the church which they were in had included extensive religious imagery and symbolism. I mean, so this is such a bad thing. How can you change? How can you send students to a religious environment? I mean, that is so terrible. Why don't you send them to a brothel? It's even worse as far as the humanists are concerned. It's worse than sending them to a brothel. And this is going to come to a position where, I mean, the way she's writing here, that she actually wrote saying, how can a church be allowed to look like a church? Why? Because it has extensive religious imagery. What do you expect from a church? But then you will write and they force these things on people. You know, how can you expose children to religion? The other day I was reading an article, and I've told you this before, in which they were saying teaching children about creation, or what they call so-called creationism, as they call it, amounts to child abuse. Why? If science is so appealing, why don't they let children be exposed to both, and then they decide which one is right by themselves? But you see, the idea is they don't just want to promote one thing, they want to extinguish the other. They want to silence the voice of the other so that you're only exposed to one thing. Now, of course, this is what the world is going to be like. Now, this lady actually bullied this church into stopping giving food to people in Haiti because they are using religious language and what, as if, and they are exposing children to a religious environment. Oh my God. I mean, so she made it sound like it's even worse than exposing them to a brothel or something like that. Anyhow, so this is what we are going to, and it's going to go strong, going to be very strong now as we go closer and closer towards the revealing of the Antichrist. Okay, because now humanism or atheism has actually become the new religion. The only difference with this religion is that it can be mixed with the state and there is not a problem. When we are talking about the other religion, then we have to separate church and state. But when we are talking about the religion of humanism, because it is religion, because humanists have churches across Europe and America, atheists, okay, have churches across Europe and America. They congregate on Sundays, they sing, they dance, of course, secular music, they read poems, and they listen to someone talk about anything other than God, of course. And the churches are growing in number and in power as well. And now the humanist associations in Britain and across America have campaigns. They buy adverts on buses saying there is no God, so go ahead and have and enjoy your life. Sounds like, I mean, if I got a bus and I drove on campus and told people there are no exams at the end of the semester, so you can go and do whatever you want with your time. I mean, how much would I be favored if I said something like that? The only difference, of course, is the end of the term would come and people would find there are exams. So at the end of your life, there is going to be a day of judgment, whether you like it, whether you believe it or not, it's going to be there. You understand? And so whether you believe the exams are going to be there, and if you're not ready for them, then you fail. Anyhow, so this is all going to be part of, I'm just telling you, by 12 things which are going to happen, entirely or be intensified in this year. If I don't finish the all 12 of them, then I'll continue with them the next lesson. But I want you to understand now, part of the humanists and the agenda is to question the authority of the Bible, and all that has been questioned so much. And you know, people who don't know what the Bible says, I mean, they come and tell them, you know, the Catholic Church squeezed in a lot of propaganda, and they are the ones who decided which books go into the Bible. So they actually, if you don't know these things, if you don't know that before even Constantine turned into Christianity in 312 AD, the Bible was already, compiled. If you don't know these things, then they actually will shake your faith. But then, at the end of it all, they make it look like everything happens on earth, like God is such a powerless guy, he does not have any control over a book that people are going to believe in all throughout. I mean, poor God, the Catholics sat down and decided for him. It's all rubbish. They're reading a book. So how can you believe that Moses wrote the book of Deuteronomy when it actually explains his death and his burial? And now, of course, if you're a simpleton who doesn't understand how the scriptures work, then that makes sense. I mean, how can somebody write a book which actually talks about how he died, not how he's going to die, how he died and how he was buried? But see what they don't understand, that how did Daniel, who lived in 535, around that time, BC, write about Alexander the Great, who lived 200 years later? Of course, because when God is involved, anything is possible. I can write about how I'm going to die before I die if the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, because he knows it. But you see, if you want to take out the Holy Spirit, then it doesn't make sense. How did you write how you're going to die before you died? But it happens all the time. I was even explaining to the other day, rock musicians who have sacrificed their lives to the devil, who write exactly the circumstances under which they are going to die, and they die like that. And they actually sing those the circumstances in lyrics. How do they know that? Because their master told them. And then a guy writes how, you know, the body is lying at the shore, the water going over it, and the guy actually drowns, and that's precisely what happens. And those music, I told you some of those songs. Anyhow, but you see, if you don't understand that there is an almighty God who has to have a witness and was involved in the compilation of the scriptures as we know them, not just the writing of them, but the compilation of them. That's why, even though, I mean, a book which was written almost 2,000 years apart, okay, the first book and the last book can have such a symmetry and a correlation, written by people who lived in totally different generations, but somehow it pieces together. Why? Because it is the word of God, and God is not helped by Catholics and the Catholic Church and Emperor Constantine. He is God, okay. So, and until you understand, but you see, all this is part of what? Sending people. But the question is it prophesied? Is it anywhere in the Bible? Of course it is. All the scenarios that we are seeing now are prophesied in the Bible. You know, the lack of faith, the humanism, the atheism, and things like that. Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, shall he really find faith on earth? But then also in the book of Daniel, which I told you is a picture of the end times, we see how this an upsurge of humanism in the worship of human beings as God, starting with, you saw how it happened with Nebuchadnezzar building an image of himself and saying everybody should worship it. And the image is 60 cubits, 60 cubits tall, 6 cubits wide, and is worshipped when 6 instruments are played. That should sound a bell to you. Now, and you also saw in the book, still in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, when the people of the kingdom, when they realize that Daniel is serving Jehovah, they come and say, we are not going to find an occasion against this man unless we deal, it has something to do with his faith. So they go to Darius the king and they play on the man's ego, and they tell him, you come up with a law where nobody should worship any other god apart from you. And of course, Darius, being a king and being a human being, I mean, that's a good law. I mean, you didn't suggest it yourself. Somebody said people should worship you, oh man. So Darius fell for it and actually signed the law into edict. And of course, it turned out that they were trying to trap Daniel. But the point is that humanism, the worship of human beings, and the worship of human beings worshipping themselves, the whole idea is that there is no God, you are a God. Okay, so you can do anything you want. You're free, do as you please. There is not going to be a day of reckoning. Death is the end of everything. When you die, that's the end of it. But does anybody really believe that? I have seen people who claim to be atheists saying, I believe my mother is looking at me from wherever. If you really are an atheist, shut up about your mother. She died like a cow. Can you say that a cow is looking at you when you ate it? I mean, if you really are animist, but you see, it's all confusion. Nobody really believes that, but they are saying it, and so somebody believes that. So when you die, it ends there. Does it really end there? Can you really get yourself to believe that you die like a pig, and that's the end of it? There is no such thing as life hereafter or anything. When you die, you're dead, you're buried, that's it. Your body is all you ever had. But of course, that's what people are going to be promoting. And the Bible says, if some, even the elect, will believe it. So, the faith. Number two, we spoke about, I've spoken here before about what I call the great divide, the great division between those who are for God and those who are for the devil. There is not going to be any gray areas. It's one way or the other. The book of Daniel chapter 12 and verse 10 says, many shall be purified, many shall be made white and refined, but the wicked shall do more and more wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but the wise will understand. Now, when somebody has chosen to take a path of wickedness, a path away from God, even when you try to tell them certain things, they don't understand, because they can't. They have put themselves in a disposition where they cannot understand what's happening. So now, even when you see what they are doing, and you know that everything that they are doing was prophesied in the Bible very clearly, by the way. And if you are listening to this program for the first time, you go and listen to everything I've been teaching since February. You might be a skeptic, agnostic, and all those stupid words that people use to describe stupid people. Okay? But just go and listen, and you'll see that every single one of these circumstances that we are talking about is clearly spelled out in the Bible, and that it is going to come to pass, and it is coming to pass, and the Bible derives its authority from the fact that it speaks things that are going to come to pass, and they do come to pass. So many of them. You look at prophecies from other books. I mean, all from other people, you know, Nostradamus, for instance. There are people who have dedicated all their lives to studying Nostradamus and what, and they claim he prophesied this and that. But the one thing about Nostradamus's prophecies is they are known for their vagueness. Nobody can say for sure what Nostradamus said until that thing has actually happened, and then they attribute it to something he said. Okay? Nobody can speak it before it comes to pass. Whereas in the Bible, we tell you things which are going to come to pass. The Bible spoke clearly, Israel as a nation is going to be set up in one day. It is going to happen in a day. They are going to be set up as a nation. They will speak the same language that they spoke before. They will do what? Jerusalem will come under the control of the Jews, which happened in 1967. And all these other things. All those things were, one thing you cannot deny about the Bible is the last book was written 96 AD, that is almost 2000 years ago, and it continually speaks authoritatively about things which are going to come to pass, and people read, and based on what they read in the Bible, they predict, and well, of course, if you get them wrong, there are so many things which actually come to pass that were predicted. Nobody has done that with any other set of prophecies anywhere, apart from those in the scripture. The Bible says that the wicked shall continue to do wickedly, and they will not understand. But some shall be refined, some shall be made white, and many shall be purified, and those who are wise will understand what is happening. Okay? Now, the purpose, of course, of this is to make you understand. But the Bible also says that people who have been exposed to the truth for a long time and have refused to heed it will go into some kind of delusion. Now, the Bible says the delusion that actually it's prophesied even in the book of Paul talks about it in the book of 2 Thessalonians, but also in the book of Isaiah chapter 66. And listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 66. Just as they have chosen their own ways, I'm reading from verse 3 and 4. Just as they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations, so I will choose their delusions and bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Now this is God speaking, that because they chose their own ways, they chose to continue. I called them, no one answered. So I will choose their delusions, and their fears will come upon them. But listen to how Paul says it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9 to 12. He says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Verse 10 now, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion, that they may believe a lie, that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now what this scripture is actually saying is, when you are exposed to the truth and hear it over and over again, and you refuse to believe it because you take pleasure in unrighteousness, God, after at some stage, when you have been overexposed to it, now there are those who haven't been exposed to it and have to be exposed to it before the end comes so that they can make their decision. But if you hear the truth over and over again and you refuse to believe it, you refuse to take it in because you love or you take pleasure in unrighteousness, then the Bible says God will send you a strong delusion that you believe a lie. Since you refuse to believe the truth, okay, go ahead and believe the lie. Now, when you're deluded, you actually believe something which other people outward, you know what it means to be deluded. You believe something which other people outward know is not right. But for you, because it's like there's something over you, you believe it. Now, that's what's going to happen to people who are exposed to the truth continually. Now, eventually, there will be a clear separation between those who belong to God and those who belong to the enemy. And the separation will be so clear that those who are on the one side will be continue to do righteous acts of God, and those who are on the other side will continue to work and work deeper and deeper into wickedness. And it is going to be a clear divide. I am sure we are going to see a beginning of something of the like. Now, right now, they are kind of fused in. You find somebody who claims to be this but is acting like the other. There is a bit of confusion in all of this, but at some stage there is going to be a clear division between the sheep and the ghosts, and that's going to happen. But also something else that I've been led to talk about that is going to happen, talking still about that, by the way, and I'm going to jump so many others to get to this because it's important that I cover it in this program. And by the way, now that we're in the middle, about the middle of the program, it's about time I told you that all partners of Watchman, we have a meeting, we have a partners meeting. It's going to take place on Friday, this Friday. That's two and a half days or whatever from now, and it's going to be at Hotel Triangle on Buganda Road, and it's going to be at 6 p.m. So if there are so many people who are actually partners of the Watchman Ministries whom we've never met, who have never interacted with the rest of the partners, we've had a previous meeting before, but now we've had so many other partners joining us. So if you are one of them, please come for the meeting. It's going to be Friday evening at 6 p.m. at Hotel Triangle. Do make sure that you come and we discuss some of the things. Well, some of the things we are going to discuss is the Watchman Conference, which now we are preparing for the month of February, next month. We want, tentatively, we're planning to have the conference in February. So if you feel led to, you know, to give towards the cause of the conference, please do, because it's very necessary, because we want to have a conference, a big event where we gather and we actually talk about these end times, and we show you know things which we cannot see on radio, but which we can show you in pictures, in motion pictures and in still pictures, brief things to show you the times in which we are living, because there are so many things that are happening in the news right now that you cannot know unless somebody points them out to you. But thankfully, so many people have been listening to this program, have been kind of educated in some of the things happening, and now they are in a better position to even spot the things that are happening in the news. There are quite a number of people, and I'm impressed by that. And those people who are listening to the program for the first time and sent to emails asking for recordings of previous programs to be sent to you, they actually have been sent. I was seeing part of them. If you haven't received them, sound an alarm, and it shall be sent to you, because there's material there from the month of February, very easy to download, compacted, You can pick it, you can download it on your smartphone and put on your headphones and listen to it. It's a lot better to listen to than some of the other things that you'll be listening to. I hope it is anyway. Now, I'm reading from Ezekiel. Now, here is something that has been prophesied in the Bible that is going to happen, that you're going to see happening this year, by the way. But it's prophesied in the Bible. All I'm telling you is that the timing is now, but all these things are prophesied in the Bible. And it talks here about shepherds, okay? Shepherds. And here I'm speaking about shepherds, people who have spiritual authority over people whom God has sent to them, like pastors and things like that. And Ezekiel, I'll read three scriptures, but the first one is Ezekiel chapter 34, actually, verse 1 to 6. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. Therefore the weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who are sick, nor bound up the broken, nor have you brought back what was driven away, nor have you sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Now here we're talking about a scenario, because this is actually prophetic, talking about a scenario in which there are shepherds or pastors or leaders who have not fed the flocks. They feed themselves, according to the scripture. They eat the fat and clothe themselves in the wool, but they do not take care of the sheep. They have not healed the sick. They have not strengthened the weak, bound up the broken, you know, but they have driven them away. Okay? And the Bible says, because of that, the sheep have been scattered all over the fields, and the beasts of the earth are taking advantage and devouring them. Now, that's precisely what is happening in the church today. There are so many believers who are seeking God genuinely, but they are going to places they are in places where they have not been fed the true word of God, and because the people who are over them are looking at what they can get from them rather than what they can give to them. And then of course these people eventually recognize that, so they move and they are wandering, and because they are wandering, they have been exposed to all sorts of false teachings, false doctrines. Some of them have even fallen off from the Lord, and so many of such things. And because they're having no true shepherdry. Now, this has been a big feature of the church in the last few years. But now something is going to happen different this year. Now, listen. But I continue. Now, I read in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 21. For the shepherds have become dull-hearted and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Now, this is what we are seeing. Some people have been gathering people on the basis of an anointing that they once had, but they have stopped seeking the Lord for something fresh. They have stopped issuing something fresh, which is one of the biggest problems in the church. Somebody starts so well, is on the cutting edge, is always receiving from God, then they acquire a fair bit of success, they get complacent, and then the next thing they stop. The flow is cut off. And then eventually, the sheep are scattered. And when they are scattered, anything can happen. But listen to what the Lord says. Jeremiah 23, verse 1 to 4. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for evil and not for good, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant of the flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them, who feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Now, here is what I'm talking about. There's going to be a scenario where some people who have been having big names and who have held crowds on the basis of a name that they acquired when they still had the anointing, but now the sheep are scattered. They no longer feel fed from where they once were fed. So they are kind of scattered. They are looking all over the place for all sorts of material. Those who can read are reading. Those who can watch television are watching television. But they are kind of scattered. Now the Bible says that if you read verse 4 of that scripture that I'm reading, Jeremiah chapter 23, it actually says that I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more. Okay? And they shall, it says they shall be fruitful and increase. Remember what we're talking about here in regard to the tithe and offering, and the seeds that people give. A lot of the reasons that people don't see an increase, actually I would say like 70 or 80% of the reason people don't see an increase is because they are not sowing in the right places. They are sowing in places where the anointing has lifted. Maybe it once was there, but it no longer is there. And because of that, there is no anointing to cause an increase. There is nothing that breaks forth in their life. So they continue sowing religiously, expecting a return and not getting it. But because there is kind of a religion that you sow, so they keep on sowing. Now, I told you, if you are listening to the messages in December, which I preached in July, do not do that religiously. Okay, do not do it religiously. Now, what God is going to do is, all the people who have been scattered, now you are going to see cases of small churches which are small, getting instant success in terms of getting numbers, people joining them, because the people who are at the head of that church are still seeking God and are still giving fresh food to the people who are under them. Now those people who are giving out stale food, who are hanging on reputations, who have gone into business, who have turned everything, I mean, and there are quite a number of them, I mean, who have turned the whole thing into a business setup, and they are looking to feed themselves and not the flock. They don't care about the flock. And as you read there in the book of Ezekiel, what is going to happen is, because God has warned shepherds for very long, he is just going to take all the sheep away and relocate them. Now what is going to happen to some of the biggest churches in this city? I am telling you that it is going to happen to some of the biggest churches in this city, where the flame has been extinguished. Now there are people who have been prepared, small. By the way, I don't have a church, lest you think that I am talking in lieu of gathering people to a church that I own. I don't have any. But you are going to see small churches, because the people in charge of them have been seeking God and have a fresh message and have the true doctrine of the Bible, those churches are going to be flooded with people, and they will wonder where those people came from. But the people will just come from all sorts of places, because God will have brought them there, because there is pasture there. There is still waters and green pastures there. Now in the place where the pastures have dried up and the waters are turbulent, are boisterous, okay, there are so many places where you see the waters are murky, the sheep will run away from there. They will, because there has been warning enough. You know that in the book of Revelation, where Jesus says, I'll remove, take a candle away from you, that's precisely what is going to be happening in some of these places. And I'm telling you, you're going to see it this year. People who thought they were destined to be in charge of small congregations, but they continue to seek God, will be surprised with the amount of congregations that they get, even when they are not looking out for them. And then those who are accustomed to big congregations will find themselves empty, and nothing they say is going to attract people. They will try all the usual methods. I've seen all the methods, people saying, come and win that, come and win a car by what. I mean, and you're thinking, really? Really? I mean, by the time somebody calls people to come and tells them they are going to win a car, then, I mean, where is the drawing power? I mean, coming to God and you're coming to buy what, then you can win a car. And I'm thinking, really? Is that where the church has gotten to? But all these things are going you're going to see a reverse of these things, because God is concerned over his sheep, and the sheep are going to, now some of the sheep, anybody who is under my voice here today, you start to see things which the Lord exposes to you. Don't be stubborn. Look out for what the Lord is doing. Okay, don't be rigid. There are so many people in the churches who are rigid. Somebody told me when I preached here about, you know, the giving, that we are not going to partner with you. I didn't tell you to partner with me. In none of those messages did I tell you to partner with me. I've been on this station for 1 year, and because some people felt that what I'm doing is the work of the Lord. Now, I'm not asking, but I've not asked anybody to do it. You understand what I'm saying? There are just a few people at the beginning whom the Lord revealed to me, and those are the ones who set the work going, and they have remained faithful, most of them. Now, the rest come by themselves, and I believe that because they join with the work of the Lord, they are going to see increase. They have seen increase. I've said that. So many testimonies of people who have seen increase. But see, the point is that people have this thing inside their mind, and it's rigidity. You know, they are rigid. So God is trying to tell you something. Okay? God is trying to tell you something. Now, the other day somebody was, and now I'm telling this story for a reason. The other day, somebody, a pastor was telling me this story. A fellow pastor had linked up, had called to go and meet one of the top, you know, pastors in this city. But that top pastor is totally off track. He's totally off track. He got into fake things, and he's completely off track. He got into homosexuality and what, and you know, things like that. So he's off. But this man doesn't know. Okay. So for him, he knows him for the big name. So he calls, he wants to join up with him, and they do. But this man is a small timer. This other person is a small timer, but he has a genuine heart for God. He's seeking God within his limited knowledge, but he is a genuine God seeker. Now the big man he's trying to connect with has left the path of God. He's on his own things, basically. So he calls him and tells him, I want to meet you. So the guy says, come and meet me at 4 p.m. tomorrow. Now, this guy is at home somewhere within the suburbs of the city and is waiting for about time so he can go and meet the guy at 4 p.m. Then he sits somewhere and falls asleep and sleeps, has a deep, heavy sleep, and he doesn't sleep during the day. But this time he gets into a deep, heavy sleep and wakes up when it's already after 4. And he's shocked, and I was supposed to go and meet this guy at 4. I slept. What happened? So he calls the guy, the pastor you're supposed to meet up with, and tells him that, look, I'm sorry, I delayed. What, can I still meet you? The guy tells him that, yes, if you come now, you can still meet me. So the guy was a bit out of town, so he decided that if he goes by car, he's going to be late. So he decided to hop onto a boda. Then midway through the way, he gets an accident on the boda. But does not have too many injuries, but has enough injuries to put off the meeting. Now I'm thinking, God is trying to save him because he knows he's going to meet up with the other guy and he's going to take him on a bad journey. He's going to take him off tangent. And God is setting up scenarios, making you sleep in the afternoon when you never sleep in the afternoon. Then you wake up and you still insist. Then there is this accident, and you don't get so badly injured, but still you cannot make it in time. And the guy is saying the devil is fighting me. And when they are telling me the story, I'm saying it's not the devil fighting you. It is God saving you from joining up with that guy because he's going to mess you up. Okay? And eventually, the guy did not see. I mean, some people can be rigid. Open yourself up to the voice of God. Let God warn you. Be in a position where you are warnable by God, because if you're going into a ditch, I mean, some people are so rigid, you have to fall into a ditch before God can do anything. Then when you're in the ditch and you're in serious trouble, then you cry out to him, then he says, okay, now here is what you should do. But I could have saved you from going into that ditch if you could have listened to me way back, but you did not. Not because you didn't want to, maybe, but because you're too rigid. Now, this year, make it a point, whoever you are, whether you're a minister or what, make it a point to open yourself up to the possibility of hearing from God. Because God wants to speak. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I mean, it is that simple. Every single one of his sheep hear his voice. Psalm
one way or the other. But you say it's not good when a pastor, God has to use physical ways to stop you from getting into trouble. Physical ways like putting you into a deep sleep and what. He would rather tell you, don't go there, and you don't go. But you see, because either you've, your antennas have kind of pulled or rusted over a period of time, or because maybe you're too rigid, your mindset is in one way, so you cannot think any other way. So he will come up with scenarios. He makes sure that in those things of Balaam meets an angel stands before his donkey, and the donkey is seeing the angel and the prophet is not seeing the angel. That means the prophet has lost it thoroughly. I mean, how can a donkey be more spiritually discerning than you, that it's seeing an angel and for you can't see the angel? So you're forcing the donkey to go, and the donkey is saying, I'm not going, I can see an angel. But you're a prophet, you should be seeing the angel before the donkey. Now this is the scenario we find ourselves in. So please just open yourself up to if you genuinely serving God, small time and what, seek God for what his plan is for you this year, and make sure that you follow that, whatever it is, because let God bring you out to success. Don't try to work out your own success. So many people have gotten off track, gotten into deep things which they regret, become charlatans and things like that, because they're trying to work out their own success instead of letting it up to God to work it out for them. And that's a lot easier. So that's another thing that we're going to see now. Well, I managed to tackle just a few of them, because they were supposed to be 12. I don't think I've dealt with even more than 4, okay, of the things that we are going to see in force this year. However, I think we'll continue with what is left next year, the next time. But just to run through what we are saying, I'm saying the great divide, don't forget that. Make sure that when there is a division, it finds you on the right side, the side that is going to spend eternity in the best pleasure that they can imagine, and not that is going to spend eternity in a horror. Okay, there are so many things that are going to happen. A move towards the 666, wearable technology, microchips. People have already started taking microchips. I'll tell you that next time. I'll tell you how. But I have to say this, however, just as we end this, that also this year, we're going to see Russia and China becoming major forces in the world. And you're going to see America going down and down and down. Because the end time scenario in the Bible, somehow, America is conspicuously absent. In all of the end time prophecies of the Bible, there is not any mention of America towards the end. Now, of course, that has caused so many people to wonder what is going to happen to America, but it is going to go down thoroughly. It's not going to be the kind of superpower that it currently is. Russia and China are going to take over, and not take over really, but they are going to rise up and be strong. And there is already an alliance between those two. I told you there was a $600 billion deal that was signed between them to share oil and energy and things like that. So the Bible teaches, so professor teachers have always known that America will cease to be a superpower it currently is at some stage. But we are going to see the beginning of this year, by the way, because the Gog and Magog wars that are prophesied in Ezekiel 37 and 38 involve Russia, China, and some of the Arab world. The undercurrents for those wars are going to happen already this year. And as America goes down, Europe, especially Germany and France, will grow in significance quite a bit, okay, in world politics. And the alliance between those nations, by the way, is prophesied clearly in the Bible, in the book of Daniel chapter 7, when it says that the leopard had wings of a bird. Now the leopard is the symbol for Germany, okay, it is the symbol for Germany, and there is a country whose symbol is a rooster, and that country is France, you know, a rooster like a cock. So it says actually the leopard has had wings of a rooster. Now earlier on in Daniel chapter 7 verse 4, talking about Britain, it says the lion had wings of an eagle. Then Daniel says, I watched as the wings were plucked off. That represents Britain, the lion, and the wings of an eagle representing America. Of course, the eagle is the symbol for America. Now, America coming out of England, of Britain. So, the wings were cut off of the eagle, and the eagle became separate, and then the lion remained separate. That is America going and establishing itself, 1776, and, England remaining separate. Now, here, but it says the leopard continued to have the wings of a rooster, which is France. So Germany and France are going to be in some sort of alliance, which is going to rule Europe and is going to be very powerful. We'll talk a bit about that next time.
That was The Watchman, with fascinating insight into the end times. Join us again next week for another update on Bible prophecy.